I got 6 of these in the bookstore. Amazon sells them for $14, and I just put on $1 to pay for the tax part, so it's like a break-even thing. Eddie knew his first worship leaders were John and Marie Barnett for 10 years. Chris Lazotte was there. I think he's the emeritus pastor now. And these are just a bunch of very stories and insights, just talking about the early days of Vineyard. Carol does a wonderful little intro in the front end of this, and I've read the intro and the forward and the first two chapters, and all of them make me cry, and I don't know why, except that they touch things, you know, that are valuable to us. And when Todd started, he and Lanola started doing the living sacrifice worship, he did invite people to come and teach the worship things from the and brought some of the earliest Vineyard worship leaders we've had. And after about the fifth or sixth one, they kept saying, "Y'all remind me of the Vineyard in the beginning." You know, and as I read this, I go, yeah, for some reason or another, we do things like the early Vineyard days, just instinct. It's just who we are. So it's all fascinating. So, yeah, if you gave us a name, yeah, you'd say it's a classic Vineyard. And kind of the three main points of a classic Vineyard from listening to or reading Eddie is intimate worship is the first. And intimate worship leads to the word, because you want, when you're interacting with God, which is what happens during worship, then you want to know him better. And the best way to get to know him from a concrete way is the scriptures. And so then you start, that leads to the scriptures, and bringing those two things will lead you to ministry, will lead you to the works. Because you can't help but end up praying for people and talking to people. And it those just three parts are pretty much what the foundation of those things. So we've got those. I think we have one. I maybe have two copies of the DNA book. You can't find this even on the Vineyard resource place. Amazon, so far, I've tried looking 3 or 4 places. It's a great book. It's been out 2 years. I spoke to you the last time was January the 6th, happened to be the first Sunday of the month. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, even approaching that word quickly like I just did feels flippant. Father God, we come to you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, your Son, your only Son, the one who has taken on being the Son of Man, Son of God, the first of a new creation, of a new Adam, of a new race. We come to you as your children. We ask you that your will be done with us. Thank you for worship. We know we can worship in a lot of ways, and music's one of the ways that we do. Holy Spirit, you are with us all the time, but we love when your manifest presence increases to our 5 senses that we can sense your presence here. We know you're with us, but that added level, speak to us today, each of us, where we are. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. Last time it kind of, in speaking, I wasn't intending, I ended up asking a question. How badly do I want a visitation from God this year? It's a month later. That ended the season with Epiphany Sunday, right? We're in ordinary time now, which means if we had colors, it would be green. Oh, we're in Epiphany. That's when it started on that Sunday. Okay, that the season of Advent ended, or the night before. Okay, so we're now in this season until Lent, or until the beginning of Lent. 40-day countdown to Easter. How badly do I want a visitation from God this year? I'm doing, on my personal, I'm sure you want to hear about mine. I have my moments. I'm doing better than I was earlier, end of last year. I can get off on all kind of projects. We have a lot of projects upstairs. That's why your seats are dry, because the attempt is to make sure that the water that's finding its way in doesn't find it to your chair. Yay! Yeah, yes, God was good. There was one that tried to get away, and it landed right out in the middle out there in front of Patsy. Thank you, Lord, and not on the sofas or where you're sitting. That was good. How badly do I want a visitation from God this year? I think for me, I have to return to, first year we have all these ads. Like if you watch anything on your phone or on television, you notice how many different groups are trying to sell you a diet? Like they're just all all kind of gymnastic equipment that you can put in your own house, right? And some of them are now proud that they've got artificial intelligence. And like, you know, that would make me not want to buy that machine just because of that voice. I would be talking to it pretty soon. Going, you know, I would get into a dialogue with an artificial intelligence thing on the machine as I just like, it'd be better if I just unplugged that part for whatever reasons. So it's like, it's actually a good time to work on your, you know, why would you even want a visitation? Cost one.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I was made for.
Really?
Yeah.
You were made for that. You're saying that there's a spiritual hunger in you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you saying that you agree with Pascal, who said every one of us has a like a God-shaped vacuum hole in us?
I do.
That's pretty good, Karen, because that is normal. You can pour all the Netflix you want to down that, and that's gone up $2 or something, and it won't fill it in. People are filling it in with all kinds of stuff across the planet, trying to fill that hole in. There's only one thing that fills that hole. Wow. Well, more. Pretty soon we'll make a fire tunnel with just you being in charge, and you just run back and forth on both sides, and we'll all line up. Hey, well, okay. We'll get somebody else to stand on the other side. We'll make a cardboard Karen on the other side, and we make a bunch of cardboard Karens and then one real Karen, and then we'll make a fire tunnel like that. And like.
We should do another one of those.
You know, it really wasn't a challenge in the sense that it's just something that popped out just out of my mouth. And it hit personally this week. Laura's got a couple of cousins, and on the Mosley side, and Noel called Laura and I both and said, Uncle Doug passed away Monday, we think. He passed away in his sleep, so he lives by himself, so we think it was Monday. We didn't even know he was sick. And I can't even tell you his age. I think he's about 72. He's the last of the immediate family of Jan Mosley Bentley. And so maybe they're all seeing each other. You know? And it makes me, I know I don't seem stirred right this minute. Because I've been up a long time. But it makes me a passion to come up to share with you whatever tiny tidbit I know of knowing God better than I know him more than I did when I was younger. And if there's anything that I can say, anything that he does through me that helps you toward that goal, then that's worthwhile, because life is short. And I have seen some amazing things that I wouldn't have ever known that I would have seen if you'd asked me back in, say, 1980. I have seen amazing things of God coming. And I can tell you, in spite of him coming, and me being able to experience that, I didn't always change. You can have an experience with God and not change. But God knows exactly what situations to bring into your life that sets you up, that the only door in the hall that's open is the one that brings you to be different. Turn with me to Exodus 33. They're in the desert. You know, they've not been out there very long. They had 400 years in Egypt. 400 years of, you know, they're a people group, but they didn't have a lot of distinct things yet to make the Hebrews really special. Now, they were already different enough that the Egyptians despised them. But they left them there because they were doggone good at raising cattle and stuff. And then they decided that they would use them to make bricks. Now, I would have kept raising cattle by them, but for some reason or another, making bricks became the number one thing. And, you know, they cried out to get us out of this. They didn't even remember the only passed down. You know, 400 years is a long time. If you were the first generation after Joseph died, and, you know, he'd been second in command to the Pharaoh, and you lived in the best land in Goshen where, you know, the Nile watered it. You were in the best place possible. And then the next Pharaoh came along, and he didn't know Joseph. And so the relationship with the Israelites changed. And he pretty much just made them all slaves. Where before they'd kind of been helping Joseph run the country, I imagine. Can't you imagine that just over a period of years, things get harder and harder and tougher, and you feel more and more and more like a slave? If you didn't, you did. And pretty soon, the only thing that you have to hand down is really old stories in this 200th year, the 300th year. Stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the people back there. The people, and maybe dare we say a promised land. They start crying out for a deliverance. And God sends a deliverer. So while Moses is up on top of the mountain getting the Ten Commandments on stones with the finger of God writing it out, and he comes down with his helper, Joshua, you know, and Joshua says, I hear a battle. down there. And Moses, being a little bit older, he says, I hear a party going on. I hear singing and dancing. Now Moses, you know, he's 80 years old, but he's been around the block a few times. He's raised in downtown Egypt, you know, wherever downtown is, the king, you know, where the Pharaoh lived. And he's seen a lot, and he knows a party. He knows it, and I imagine, you know, the tunes were Egyptian tunes. They don't have a lot of Jewish songs, I don't think. I can't prove this, but I imagine it's Egyptian songs. They have been permeated by an Egyptian culture. Now, on your part, as I go through, I'm just going to do all this off the top. Put yourself, you're in our culture, you're in the South. It is 2019, right? I think I've quit writing 2018, but I'm trying to get used to this. I had to, for the first half of January, I have to look up on my watch every day to make sure I had the right year. It can't be 2019. It just didn't feel right. But the watch said it was. And Moses throws the tablets down, breaks them, goes down. There's a golden calf that they're having a party in front of. A golden calf. His older brother said that, well, you know, they were starting to get a little rambunctious. I didn't know what to do with them, so I asked them to give me some gold. You remember they had borrowed all this jewelry from the Egyptians, all this gold and different things. And he said, I took some gold from them that they gave it. I put it in the fire, and out came a calf. Now, the younger brother is not stupid. He knows that if you throw gold in a fire, a calf is just not going to just show up. That his brother had something to do with this. He crushes it into dust, and he makes him drink it. And then he tells the house of Levi, who is his tribe, he says, strap your swords on, basically. Go through the camp. Kill everybody that is worshiping the calf. And they lose 3,000 people that day. Chapter 33, New American Standard. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I'll drive out. And then he gives the six people groups that are living there. Verse 3, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are a stiff-necked people. And I might destroy you on the way. God the Father is righteously angry. When the people heard this New American says sad word, but it actually means evil word, disastrous word. They went into mourning, and none of them put on their, now it doesn't say it, but Egyptian ornaments, their stuff. They liked to dress like the Egyptians. They were the winners. We got all this Egyptian stuff. We know how to paint our eyes like Cleopatra. You know, we know how to dress the parts. We've gotten all this stuff from them. Verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, say to the sons of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now, therefore, put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what I shall do with you. So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their jewelry, their Egyptian jewelry, you know, from Mount Horeb there onward. They didn't wear it anymore. Here was the beginning of a change. 3,000 of their extended family were dead. It was embarrassing. It was painful. I'm sure some of them were in touch with it, that this is our fault. You know, it's our fault. These 3,000 are dead. It's not Moses' fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. We were impatient. He was gone. We were out here in the middle of nowhere. We talked Aaron into doing it, something. And he did it to satisfy us, and we just decided we'd have a dancing heck of a time. You know, the musicians, probably the ones that had something, did some Egyptian songs. Top 40 Egyptian music. And now, this is the outcome. So verse 7 is kind of a dividing little thing here, changes. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, far enough that you can't hear them. You can't hear all the people and everything, I imagine. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. How badly do you want a visitation from God this year? Are you willing to go outside the camp? The camp of American culture. You'll have to leave Facebook for a while, or at least so many hours. Something for that to fade away, all your friends' political stuff back and forth or whatever, or the ads or what, just the things or the billboards or downtown, or just fill in the blank. What are the things that get in between you and God? I get distracted for a little while. And it lingers. I mean, even if I stop whatever I'm doing, it doesn't have to be bad. It's not bad. Just stop something. It takes a while for it to fade. It takes a while for me to hear the voice. Now, sometimes I turn the corner and there's God. Bam. Just all of a sudden. But most of the time, it's me kind of pulling back, getting still, connecting with Him, which usually means that the Holy Spirit's going to say, let's talk for a second. Yes, sir? Yeah, I don't like how you're thinking about that person or this or that. Do you really want to meet with me? Yeah, I think so. Well, let's just sit here for a minute. Yes, Lord, I really want to meet with you. And in that conversation, sometimes I say, I don't want to say anything. I'm not coming with a need. I'm just going to sit here. And maybe you'll come. And whenever I get to that place, usually he's like the wind starts blowing. Better than Mary Poppins in the wind vane changing directions. You know? Better than running across the hills that are ablaze with the sound of music. Better than the Pink Panther running across those hills. And it came about, verse 8, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand each at the entrance of his tent and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. And whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, and all the people would arise and worship each at the entrance of his tent. Now, what that means is they'd get face down in front of their tent, because this was strange. It was strange and wonderful all at the same time. There was this cloud that came there. And imagine if it was nighttime, it was like a cloud on fire. Can you see the gradual change there? It's not like Egypt. They've never experienced this. They've left. They've crossed the Red Sea that was pushed back and dried land. They've watched the Egyptian army drown in front of their eyes. They've seen a mountain on fire on top of it and told, don't touch it, you're going to, you know, kill you if you touch it and you'll die. Or Moses go off up there, probably with Joshua helping him. And now there's this, well, in the distance, we see this tent of meeting. We can see little bitty Moses off in the distance getting smaller. And then there comes the cloud down.
But it's interesting that in verse 7, it says everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting. So even though they were, and apparently everyone came around the fire with Aaron, so when it was really the Lord, there was still, the people were allowing a little bit of distance rather than engaging fully like Moses.
Yeah, you don't know. There's always a remnant. You know, even back in Egypt, I imagine there were some that stayed loyal to God and didn't pick up the Egyptian culture. In this country, there are people more loyal to God than they are to the culture. All countries. There's a remnant everywhere. A few. Yeah, it's a journey. You know, like some people's personality, I don't even know why. You can't really measure it. One person runs toward God from the beginning when they find out that they can have a relationship and be forgiven and all this. They run. Others walk. Others stop, go a little ways, 2 or 3 years goes by, they go a little further. You know, it's like we're all different. He's loving us all, and he knows that there's this variation of people. But yeah, it should encourage us. We should not make Moses into the flannel board of the little, you know, and we stick him on something. I mean, Moses is a person. Moses was his younger brother. He was God started this talking with him. And Moses was getting to know God at a level that probably Joshua might be the next person that knew God pretty well. You know, like he's his assistant. I mean, I project all kinds of stuff in conversation that's not there in Scripture. But if I was working for Moses, and Moses says, "We're gonna go up on the mountain," do we have to? Yeah, it'll be okay, Joshua. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. He won't kill you. You're gonna actually enjoy this. You're gonna really get into this. Just trust me. And besides, I'm older than you are. You know, I've been around a while. And I've been talking to him for a while out there. Did I show you the staff trick where it turns into a snake? And you want to see my hand? You want to see the hand again? Look. Leprosy. Watch. Not leprosy. It still works. We'll be okay. This is going to be good. You know, he said something like that. Something. Verse 11, and thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Does that stir anything? If not today, one of these days, awareness is going to happen to you. That there's nothing different between Moses and you. That James could say, Elijah was a person just like you and me. He prayed it wouldn't rain and it didn't. What's James saying? They're all just people who know God. You can be that same group. There's no one in this room today that can't have a personal interaction, visitation with God. Nothing is in the way of that. But I think you can cheat. Because I know him a little bit, and he loves when we are hungry. Go hang out with a hungry person that is a lunatic for God. Because you get close enough and something will happen. And it is like putting sticks that are on fire together. You know, a couple of smoking sticks. And you all play with fire? I've played with fire. I've had fire trucks 5 times in my life so far. Hopefully, maybe no more times. But if you take smoking pieces and you put them, those ends together when you're out in the woods, there's enough heat from those little pieces that pretty soon, a little heat here, a little heat there, a little heat there, enough that it's smoking, flames burst out. I don't have to fan it. I just have to put the ends together. Now, if those are nuclear rods, it's not a good idea because you end up with Chernobyl and you got a place that you can't go visit for a while because the place melts down with nuclear, you know, fire, so to speak. Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. You put some smoking people together, and the presence of God will increase to the point that he will manifest in a way that you can tell he's increasing his presence. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. There's Amy. See? He's hooked. He's hooked. I need to stay down here and keep it safe. He's staying because he wants to stay near God's presence. Thus the Lord, let's see. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. Now, who talks to God like that except a person that knows God as well as Moses does? This has got a little talk back. I mean, you know, this isn't like, oh, gracious, sorry to bother you, oh, great one. No, there's heat on that, I think. See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. He's quoting God back to him, God. Is this like, you can do this, just do it with reverence at the same time. Because, you know, it's Dad, it's Father God. Bring the heat. Now, therefore, I pray you, verse 13, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. So that I may find favor in your sight, consider too that this nation is your people. I know you little. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know who you are that says that I am that I am. I want to know you who can make my hand leprosy and not leprous and can take my staff and turn it into a snake. I want to know your ways. This is a hard job, leading all this rabble some days, you know. Just come down the mountain. I've thrown the stones down. They were worshiping a cow, calf. 3,000 I've lost because they were. We had to. This makes me mad. I want to know you. I want to know your ways. And he said, the Lord, verse 14, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. 15, and then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Boy, it's getting, you hear the intent, this is getting intense. I'm not moving them if you're not going. Without saying it, he's saying, I don't want an angel. I want you. Yeah. An angel's not enough. I can't remember who said it. Bob Jones, one of them said, you know, you really can have all of God you want. Verse 16, for how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? What separates you is when you pray for people that the Lord's leading you to pray for, and you say it in Jesus' name, something happens. Something visible or something internal, but something happens. You are not typical. You're the most powerful, but humblest people on the earth, because he has called you. You are minding your own business. God first loved you. Now you love him. He started it. He told you in his way, you are a rebel. And we said in some behavior or words, yes, that's true. I know you're God. Come in to my life. Forgive me. So the Lord says to Moses, 17, I will also do this thing for which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. In other words, I'll go with you. And then what does Moses do? I think just in the heat of the passion of the moment, the next thing he says is, then Moses says, I pray you, show me your glory. He's gone from saying, I want to know your ways. I ain't going from here if you're not going with me. God says, okay, I'll go with you. Well, then show me your glory. He just never stops. He's just going for the whole tamale. Is that what the saying is? Enchilada. Go for the whole enchilada, right? He's just going for the whole enchilada. What would you say, David? The whole burrito. Okay. The whole meal. Throw in the chips, the salsa extra, and one of the little things with the honey to put on top and make your fingers sticky. I want the whole meal. Whole enchiladas. I want the whole meal. And God says, verse 19, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I show compassion. And the next chapter is when that happens, you know, the cleft of the rock and all that part. How badly do I want a visitation from God this year? How badly do I want a visitation from God? Why, there's still time to have a visitation from God. When it's face-to-face, this part's over. We won't have these stories there. We'll only have those stories there. But we can take these stories there and tell them to each other. Paul says, I see like through a piece of smoked glass, like looking at the sun. I can see now, but then I will see him face to face. And that's Paul. That's the degree that Paul knows God, and he's saying it's like looking through smoked glass, looking at the sun. But then face to face, ask the Holy Spirit, I ask for us, each of us. Y'all can accept it or not, you know. I ask that you know what each of us needs to do on our part to set us up for knowing you better, for knowing your ways, knowing your glory, your presence, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's whatever.